Do you have cauliflower ear?
I don't. Look.
Not at all.
Oh, yeah, let's see it.
Nothing.
So you wear the headgear. You're smart.
I don't even wear the headgear.
You know what's crazy about you combat sport freaking kids?
Tell me.
They like that shit. They like that.
Yeah.
For you guys that didn't hear at home, Mom just piped in and said, I think he's saving it for one special girl. So now
you expose me.
Now you got it.
I mean, hey, I'm open if Jenna Ortega's out there, you know, I'm still.
Hey, oh, that's what it is. Jenna Ortega.
Name drop.
Yo.
Great name drop.
Holy smokes.
You're listening to Joey Joy Radio.
Wait, start it. Go ahead. You have a fight. You have a fight coming up.
Oh yeah, I got a super fight coming up.
It's MMA or jiu-jitsu?
No, Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And so, what is that like a tournament? It's like an event. Like
yeah, it's an event where there's gonna be like I don't know, it's like 1,000 people there attending, and it's just gonna be like a big one-on-one super fight. Me, one person on a giant stage.
It's like a card.
Yeah, it's like a card, like a 1v1.
No way.
And we just had this humongous stage, and just a bunch of people watching. It's gonna be sick.
When is that?
April 13th at the Grove.
The Grove.
Yeah.
The Grove.
I know where the Grove is. It's right over here.
Yeah.
Wait. So will it be outside?
No, it's gonna be an inside event, but it's huge.
No way.
Inside. Yeah.
Yo, that's sick. What yeah. What's your weight? What's your weight class?
I walk around like 145, but in this division, I'll be fighting 150.
Oh, so you're going up a little bit.
Yeah, up a little bit.
And this is, they call you Bull or you're the Bull?
They call me the Bull.
Jacob the Bull.
You got to specify it.
The Hell Bull. Yeah, the Bull. Yeah. A bunch of Bulls out there. This is the Bull.
Hell yeah.
Wait, so 145 and you're going up.
Yeah. By a few pounds.
Was this like an opponent that you've known and you're like, all right, to do that, I got to go up and wait? Or is this just like the promoter put it together and this is the weight class you're in?
The promoter put it together, but I was like, hell yeah, I'll take it, you know? Like, I don't mind. I'll go up and wait, go down a weight, you know? I'll do whatever I have to do, just do the fight. For me, it's not about the weight. For me, it's about entertaining the crowd, entertaining the people that's going to come watch me, that's paying for tickets, about, yeah. you know, putting on a show.
Hell yeah,
that's
hell
what
yeah.
I care for.
Crowd you pleasure. Ever do any like... Yeah. Like press conferences and stuff before the fights, or like you ever get to like talk your shit a little bit before an event?
I haven't done that like UFC style, but I've mm-hmm. always done like pre-interviews before the fights, and then like after my interview, and then I explain, you know, how I like the fight and all that.
So BJJ, they don't really do the whole face-to-face like kind of. Do they?
They do, yeah. Certain super fights, like if you're really up there making those big major leagues, then,
Have you ever done that though?
I haven't done a face-off yet. But
are you like really looking forward to it? Have you been practicing shit talk and like all that?
I haven't gotten there yet, but you know, when I get there, you know, if I run into that really like that person who wants to get it going, you know, like that.
You're in it.
Yeah, I'm down for the hype.
You're there for
because
it.
Yeah. Like what you just said before, you were like, I don't care about the weight class. This is about like the entertainment for the people that are coming. Like, what I've noticed like outside looking in, because combat sports are kind of all very similar in the promotion aspect where like you get the hype for the fight like before when people are kind of talking shit, and that's how you kind of see those superstars go. Maybe do you think that's a good or bad thing that like that's what seems to be selling fights and combat sports right now, is that before shit talking, and then maybe it's not real? Maybe do you think
right? I mean, that happens to most of the fight to see. Like, it's like when I saw Ryan Garcia's fight with Tank, you know,
Tank,
all of that was happening. And then right after the fight, it was all nice and sweet. I think it just sells, you know, it gets the most sales. People like to watch that. Mm-hmm. It's entertainment, you know, so that's what you got
to
do.
That would be hard for me. Like, that would be hard for me to go that deep and dig on someone for months publicly.
Yeah.
And that'd be like cool right after.
Yeah, that's it. That's how I would do it, you know.
You would just be cool straight after?
Yeah, I'll be cool right after, you know.
See,
it's not real then.
I'm saying that would be hard for me.
Yeah. I just take it as it is, you know. I mean, sometimes people get salty in real life, but it's just depending on that guy.
It's just mm-hmm. part of the show though.
Yeah, for me it's part of the show.
Do you think you could ever actually beef with somebody like that?
I mean,
like, do you think there is ever an opponent that you'll come across that really gets under your skin where you're just like, this is not fake?
Like, it's not just the promoter put it together, you thinking like, he's next.
It could be real a lot of the times, because I've had people like that in the past. Like, in my fights personally, mm-hmm. I've had like real beef with them, like online and in person. Like, I actually had two people that was talking crap about me online. And then once we actually met in the real tournament, I beat both their asses. I was like, I'm good. Watch what I see.
Well, I'm cool with you now.
You're going to get the smoke.
That's hilarious. That was 145 usually?
I think I was like a blue belt.
Oh, wait. That'd be good. You want to explain? So to me, when I think of belt, I think of more like karate or something like that. So jiu-jitsu goes like, you start off, what's the first?
In BJJ, you start off as a white belt. And then for adult ranks, it's white, blue, purple, brown, then black.
Yeah.
But I started as a kid. I started at the age of 6. So I started as white, and I had to go through all the kid stages of the belt. So it goes from like yellow, and then it goes from like orange to green. And they even have half colors. They implement the half color belts. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like yellow, gray, or like yellow, white, and then black, yellow. It's like a lot of half colors.
So you got to go through multiple sets of colors.
Multiple sets of colors, yes, when you're a kid.
So, but who, like, is that like a regulated, like, it's like, so I'm trying to think of a way to like explain it. Like you get your, like you're a teacher, then you're a, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, is there, like, how do you, is there like a board test, or is it like your trainer decides your,
your coach decides when you're
your coach?
Yeah. I mean, I call them professors, like at my gym, the Black Belts, they're all professors, but it just depends on like the academy you train at, coach or professor, the similar things. But when you're a Black Belt, that's the last belt of all the belts. And then there's red belt, but you have to be like an old man. They got to be like your 60s or whatever. but I'm not worried about the red belt. But yeah, like once you reach the black belt.
Like what could, is it possible? What I'm trying to ask is like, is it possible for your professors or coaches and another gym's professors or coaches, their idea of what level belt you are could be different? Or is it like everyone knows he's definitely a red belt, he's definitely a yellow belt? Like it's up to them, no?
No, it's up to the professors,
whoever works with you every day.
Yeah.
Okay, that might be better, honestly.
Yeah.
Than like it being a general.
No, because like not everybody's going to know when you're going to be promoted or what belt you deserve, you know, to be at. But it depends on your skills and how good your training is. Mm-hmm. And the work you've been putting into shows off in tournaments and your training.
And other thing I'm really interested in. I played football. My dad was a pro heavyweight boxer. He actually owns a gym.
Yeah.
I'm getting into more boxing now. Just like train. I like it. Because, you know, you get like graduated college, can't play football anymore. Like bat, whatever. You kind of miss being banged up a little bit. Then I'm not a fucking, this isn't my career like you, you know.
Right.
But it's cool. It's cool to get in there and spar a little bit.
Most definitely.
Do you think like your training camp, like what is your day to day? For if like how often is that, like 3 months training camp?
Typically 3 months.
3 months,
for, yeah.
And then tournament. So that's like, like give me like your day to day. I know it. You're supposed to peak when you're right. Like it's like an incline. So like you get more and more intense as you go.
It's an incline. Those
so like say like straight. Mid say like halfway through. Like what is a day? Like you're waking up at what time? You're eating. You got a training session. Then another training. Like what
I'll
is
break
that?
It
give
down
me that.
For you. Like every. Day.
I love that stuff. I get interested in that stuff.
Listen, man. From Monday to Friday, right? I work all the weekdays, and then the weekend I chill and I take some like take a spa or just do some to relax my body. But during the weekdays, I wake up from Monday to Friday. I wake up at like 6 a.m. Class starts at 7. You know, eat something good in the morning, like a shake.
Class is with the professors at the gym. When you say class, you mean a workout.
Yeah, like class starts at 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But class means.
Like training jiu-jitsu. It's sparring, like a straight sparring for a whole hour straight.
In the morning. You're sparring 7
in the morning. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the first thing we do.
Hell of a wake up.
We don't stop. And then after that, then we get into drills and then we start more sparring again. So it's like 2 hours of training. It's two classes. I do two classes in the morning. And then after that, I work out in the afternoon, you know, and then eat some more food. And then later on, just rest my body. Then I go back at night and then work out again. So I just do that every single day.
Like 2 days you're eating in between. Mm-hmm. Who does your diet? Mama Dukes and Daddy. Yeah.
I eat like most of the foods I eat, I make for myself, or I make sure I'm eating the right things, but they help me plan my plan meals out.
You probably work out so much, you're not too worried about calories. And or you're actually opposite. You're probably worried about upping them right now because you're trying to go up weight class now.
But for 150s, I watch like what I eat. So I'm not trying to eat like anything just to bulk up in weight, but I want like lean muscle.
Clean gains.
Yeah, clean. Yeah. So basically, it's kind of pretty. It's pretty easy.
So wait, what time did you say the last workout's at?
The last workout of just like regular jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped training. Well, training ends at like around 9:30-ish a.m.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I wake up at 6 a.m.
So
yeah,
but I'm saying so the first session's right then.
Yeah, it starts at 7 a.m. and then all the way to 9:30 a.m.
Yeah,
because there's two classes.
And are you doing weights or not really?
Yeah, I do weights, but I haven't been like super heavy on it because I try to keep the lean physique.
Yeah, I just ask because I feel like a lot of fighters don't really do weights.
No, yeah. And it just depends on like where you're trying to go within jiu-jitsu. Like if you're trying to be like fighting the heavy, really heavy weight divisions, like we're talking about 170s, 180s, then you would have to bulk up like a lot of weight.
More like functional.
Yeah, if you're trying to be up there.
Just to look good.
I just do the lean physique. You know, I stay 145, you know, like 150. But I never like to actually like weigh in at the weight scale at 155. I think it's too heavy for me.
Yeah, 155. So you want to go a little under?
Yeah.
Because you want to keep speed and
shit. Yeah, I'm always it's such in a crazy mind I got game. The speed.
There's so many different aspects to it.
Yeah, speed and strength.
So the guy, I mean, do you want to say his name? You don't have to say his name. The event's coming up.
Call him out.
I mean, unless you don't want to gas him up.
Nah, I don't think I forgot his name, but I know he's gonna be a good opponent though.
Do you know if is he usually in that weight class or is he dropping down or is he going up? You have no idea.
No, this is my first time fighting him, so I don't know too much about him.
You watch film?
Huh?
Like, do you get film on each other? So I come
highlights?
From a football background.
Oh yeah.
And what we do all week leading up to the game, every night is watch the other team's game film. All like every you practice, and then you sit with your team and watch what they do nonstop, learn what they do.
Oh yeah,
you guys don't do that.
No, I don't do that to most of my opponents only because like I want to go in there like I'm just training, only for like I'm only preparing myself, so I don't like watch a lot of people's highlights. I'm just like, okay, I know how like typically this jiu-jitsu game works. Like I already know the world of jiu-jitsu. I know how these people fight, so I just focus on myself and I go in there. Like I can tell already how a person's gonna play the game when I'm on the mat.
Yeah.
You ever read somebody's
you learn on the flat.
Yeah.
Probably the best way to do it because maybe you start looking at their old stuff and they're thinking they're looking at my old stuff and they come in with a different.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a better
like,
way to do
I mean, I read people's body language when it comes, like, I know how to read on the mats. You
know? Yeah.
So it's like, I know, I can see what you're going to do before you do it.
Yeah. Well, so I saw this clip because, so I spar a little bit boxing. Not like I'm not like nowhere near yours, but I like get into it. I like sparring and my. Like biggest thing what I've learned is like especially for someone that has like two or three or less fights, like very very novice, cardio is like number one,
of course,
and that's what that's what gets me worked up. And you don't realize until you get in those combat sports, you're like, oh, 1 minute or 2 minutes, like, yeah, right, bro, that is like boom boom, and you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I saw, I don't, Roy Jones Jr., you know who that is?
I don't think so.
He's a boxer. He's a big boxer.
Okay.
He gave kind of like what you were saying. You were like, I'm on the mat and I'm reading him and I'm doing this thing. He was like, what used to calm me down and settle me down is like, think about setting them up. Don't think about the whole big picture. Think about what you want to do and getting to your spots. And then you're in your head and it kind of calms you down. And I think, is that kind of what you were saying?
You're
not really thinking about the whole big picture and the whole big event. You're thinking, okay, I've been working on this move. How can I set him up? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so like, that's how I had it in my head. It's like I pre-planned everything on the mat. It's like I'm watching your every move before you do it. You know?
Yeah.
So like I just like to put it on my head. It's like a whole scenario I have going on. So yeah.
Okay, then getting off the little straight fighting path. I'm sure you go in public. You live in LA. Like you go places.
Yeah.
What I always think is crazy is someone, because you're not a huge guy, you know?
Yeah.
But you can mess like most people up. So like walking around in public, has it ever, like knowing that you can be like that, is anyone ever, because like a first glance at you, someone's not like this huge dude, know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but like, you know in your head what you're capable of.
Yeah.
Is anyone, like, have you ever been out in public and people like try you and you just know you can't like really do anything because you're above this, like you're above the standard, like, what's it called? What do
you beat their ass? Like,
no, but what do military people call civilians? Like, they're like civilians. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're like civilians, and you're like, so is that ever
an elite operator?
Do you have any like stories or any situations like that where you're like, bro, chill, I'll literally snap your neck.
I mean, I've had scenarios that, like I had friends in the past, like old friends that, you know, they thought we were friends, but I wouldn't really consider them. But they would like try to send me. They'd be like, yo, bro, can you help me? Like, I have somebody trying to mess with me. Like, can you fight them for me? I'm like, nah, bro. Like, you know,
yeah, I was gonna say, those aren't like good friends because that's how you're not a lot. You're the one person that can't get in the street and do that stuff because you'll get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'm like, nah, man. There's no evidence. There's no proof of that. So I don't fight for nobody unless I see it for myself. And you need to be protected. Yep. That's the only scenario.
Yeah.
But like even back then, when I was a kid, I was bullied. Right. That was the whole reason why I started jiu-jitsu, because I was bullied at the age of 6.
Really?
Yeah. I got cornered up by these two kids in a house party, and I was just like, I had nothing to do. I didn't know what to
do. You were 6 years old at a house party?
Yeah.
Like a birthday party.
Like a birthday party. It was a kid's birthday house party.
At somebody's house.
I was like, damn, that's some New York, LA shit. Yeah. Holy shit, you've been through, you grew up, bro.
Real deal.
It's like, I'm chilling at this house party in the hills. I'm 6 years old. I'm like, bro, what?
I got cornered, like.
I'm like, maybe you shouldn't.
So like, bro, 6-year-olds ganging up at you, ganging up on you?
Yeah.
Other kids your age are like a little older.
I think, yeah, they're a little bit older than me. But it was like, still, it's like, damn, for like being 6 years old, already being cornered up like that, it's crazy. So after that sequence, I started crying and stuff. And I went to my parents to tell them about it. And they was like, we got to put them in sports to protect themselves, something yeah. combat, right? And I told them, I don't know what to do. So, bam, they introduced me to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Actually, they told my aunt about it because she was a police officer, a NORC police officer. And she's the one that introduced me to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. She brought me to her academy. Mm-hmm. And then ever since I started training with her, I just absolutely loved it. And then they asked me if I wanted to stay in it. And I was like, hell yeah.
And it wasn't just you, though. Besides you, like other family members in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, besides your aunt, like your sisters.
Yeah, yeah. I had my brother train with me. I had like three of my brothers, my sister.
We was Are all your brothers? Together. How many brothers you got?
I got three brothers, one sister.
And they're younger or older?
I'm the youngest. They're all the oldest.
You're the youngest. Yeah. So you were the first in jiu-jitsu and then everyone else?
Yeah, they all followed along. Yeah, they
followed the baby. We got a true leader here. He's the baby making some moves. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, so when they was all training with me, it was fun as a family together. You know, eventually I was the only one who stuck it out at the end. I stood in all these years. Mm-hmm. They all decided different paths. But, you know, it was still fun. And, you know, my brothers couldn't really stay in it because they deal with this disorder called hemophilia. It's a bleeding disorder. Mm-hmm. And so
that's what you were talking about earlier. So you're a big advocate. And how do you say the disorder again?
Oh, hemophilia.
Hemophilia.
Yeah.
And that is your siblings Rare have this disease disorder. And that is why they couldn't continue doing
That's like the main reason.
Really hard. And now you're starting to get a little bit of a platform so you can be an advocate for the charity.
I've always been an advocate for the charity. You know, I've always been supporting them. You know, I've been to all the events with them, you know, so I'm there for all of it, you know. So, and I felt bad. Yeah.
And I'm sure they love it. They're your biggest supporters, right?
They supporting me. Like the minute I started, they went to my tournaments when they know they couldn't do it. And, you know, it pushed me and it motivated me even more to stay in the sport because they couldn't do it.
And that has to make you feel really good because I imagine it must be hard for them to know that like they have something that make like they can't continue doing something that they really enjoyed.
Yeah.
But for them to still be like happy for you, you know what I mean? That because I'm sure it hurts them that they can't participate. But for them to come support you guys so much, that probably makes you feel so good. And you know what I mean? That's such a great situation.
Like, emotionally, it makes me feel good. And I think about it all the time. Every time I go out there and win a major tournament, and I'm just thinking about like, you know, I did this for everybody, my family, my brothers, my supporters, my friends, and obviously, of course, my parents the most. You know, so it feels great.
That's amazing. Honestly.
Yeah. No, that's great. So like, what does it look like after you're done competing?
Like, before you're done competing, is it jiu-jitsu the whole way or do you want to transition to any other combat?
Right now, I'm just going to focus on jiu-jitsu the entire way. I'm already a brown belt, so I only got like a year or two until I get black belt. So the minute I get that, I have a lot to go on that path. Like once you get black belt, it's like a new stage starts. You got a whole new path to do now. So I want to open up my own academy at black belt, but I still have a long list of things to do when I get the black belt. Still got to do a bunch of major tournaments that you have to win. Like there's like black belts out there that are like 6-time world champions. I mean, I'm a 6-time world champion already, but that was like in my younger years. And I have to redo that again at black
belt. How old are you now? You
know I'm 20.
You're a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 26, but you're a baby.
Okay. So yeah, that's the goal for right now. Just do as much tournaments as I can once I get black, and then win all of those and open up my own academy.
Damn.
And when is that? Maybe like how long do you think that path that the new path will take?
That just depends on how much of the training I'm putting really into it. Like how much I'm really focused on that path. The harder I work for it, then the faster results are gonna come.
At what point are you pro?
I'm already pro now.
Yeah. So what? But when did that? Like so the belts and belt. You know what I mean? Because I know a little bit more about boxing and boxing, like you're amateur, and then you like have to apply to be pro. Once you're pro, then you can start making money, but they make like a little money like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've been pro for is it an age thing? Are you like 18 or something?
I mean, in jiu-jitsu, it's like different. Like when I started training, I would say like I really became good at jiu-jitsu when I was about like yellow belt. I wouldn't say I was pro. I was still like amateur, of course, but like I started like... It was more pro training once I reached like a blue belt. Yeah. Like blue belt, they call us juvenile. So like from 15 and older, you kind of start becoming to that pro stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when I won 2019 Worlds. So that's like when I became like a pro champion.
Where was that tournament?
That was in Long Beach. Yeah.
So what were you, 17, 16?
Yeah, I was about like 16, I think.
That's Long Beach.
Yeah.
World. So that's a tournament?
Yeah, it was a world tournament.
And so what you have to, it's like a bracket. How many like... match or what do you is it match
yeah or they call brackets and then they could be like hundreds of people in there. Like,
but I'm saying, like, you how many like matches did you have a day? Is it just one a day?
No, all the matches are in one day. I had a total, I think, like 4 matches.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Dude, so that's wild.
Yeah, I had to go through 4 people, like, that's like wild. 6 minute rounds.
That's wild, bro. Yeah. Like a match, bro. So wait, so how long is the match in that tournament?
7 minutes, yeah.
So how many rounds? Wait, it's 5?
So I went through 4 people, 7 minute rounds.
5 7-minute rounds? Or it's 1 round?
4 to 5 people.
So it's each one. Oh, so the tournament's 1 round each.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a little more sense. Okay. Yeah. I was like, yo, you're going 5 rounds 4 times in a day? Like, bro, are you Lance Armstrong?
Yeah.
Or Neil Armstrong? Which one's the biker?
Yeah.
That's crazy, bro. Yeah.
Is that typical, though, like, of those competitions?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah. Every tournament works like that, or most tournaments. But then you got, like, the major leagues. Like, the one I'm doing now is going to be a major tournament. Right. That could go up, like, at Black Belt. It goes up to most at 10 minutes.
That one's not a tournament, though, right? Isn't that?
No, this one's a super fight.
Super. Oh, that's what. So,
yeah.
Jiu-jitsu is usually tournaments, though.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, tournament style is cool because then you get, like, the true winner.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, doing an event with a card and then it's like, all right, these guys are the only ones fighting for the belt tonight. Like,
yeah.
You guys are all fighting for the belt tonight. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, anyone could win.
Tournaments are exciting because you get a lot of exposure and, like, you get a lot of people out there that, you know, start recognizing you more. And, like, once you start being out there, like, daily, actively being competitor, it's just fun. You know, you get used to it. The rhythm is nice. And then also it gets rid of, like, that anxiety feeling you get at tournaments, because a lot of people get tournament anxiety. And so the more you compete, the less you're going to start feeling that you'll be more comfortable out there competing.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, the more and more you go, the less you're.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is there, like, have you had, like, a tough match? Like, has someone either beat you or, like, could have beat you, or, like, you're, like, either want that one back, or, like, that dude is a...
Oh, like, yeah. Anyone? Yeah, I've had a really interesting fight. I was a green belt, and I had this really, really tough competitor. He was, like...
When was this?
I was a green belt. I would say I was about 14. I was about that age, yeah.
Yeah.
And his name.
And it's another 14-year-old, or is it?
Yeah, like, it was another 14. We used to train together at my academy, like, years ago.
Oh, so you kind of knew him.
I already knew him. We was actually really good friends at that time. Before we fought, like, we was always cool. But when he had left the academy, you know,
that's crazy, little, like, and that happens in the world all the time too, because everyone's trained at the same gyms, and then one day you might have to.
Yeah.
That's not your teammate today.
Yeah, no, not
so go ahead,
day.
Keep going.
And it was interesting because we both had a really similar skill set. And it was like, once we got in the battle, it was like we couldn't get one up on each other. It was always head to head the entire round.
Same sensei.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That too. And it was like everybody was so anticipating that fight. It was so exciting. Like, we had like one crowd on his side and then one crowd on my side just cheering us both on. Like, my side cheering me on, his side cheering him on.
Yeah.
And it was just mad exciting. We were just clashing. They was like, Jacob. And then they were screaming his name, right?
Yeah.
And then
can you say his? Or you?
Oh, well, yeah. His name is Kay Ritula. Shout out to Kay Ritula. He's a good man. And he's a beast now. He's like a black belt world champion already.
He's still nice too.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. And I love this guy, man. It was such a great fight. We was head to head this whole time. And then, like, he got the last up on me. And I was like, oh, that was a great battle. But, like, at the end, it was all good, man. You know, I was sportsmanship all the time.
Yeah.
And
bro, that's what you do it for. That's what you want. Those moments that are that's so lit, bro. Yeah. I will say those sports are crazy. Like, I played football in college.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the same, like stake in the game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, having a team of, like, 11 other people out there, then if you want to cut the defense, another 11 people out there, it's like 22 people all playing out there at the same time. It's like, when you lose a game, it doesn't feel as much. Like, I played wide receiver. Maybe you played quarterback. It's a little different. Uh-huh. It doesn't feel as much on you. Like, you're out there solo. And, like, that's on you. I think that's what makes it a little more nervous and a little more, because I remember, like, when I wrestled when I was younger, like, not a worse feeling ever than getting pinned. Like,
oh yeah, no that feels, I mean, I used to do wrestling all the time, and tournaments, getting pinned sucks. I don't like the feeling.
No,
I was gonna,
like,
be the one
helpless, like, once you're pinned, like, and it's just you and everyone's watching you get pinned, and that's like the
All right,
but next thing, you've been getting into social media a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you live out here, bro. It's kind of hard to miss it, huh?
No, yeah. I'm always in the social media world.
And you make some training content, or, like,
jiu-jitsu
content? What are the type of...
Yeah, so I've been doing all the types of content. So jiu-jitsu content is always daily, and every morning I'm always training. So content.
And what is that?
Always,
you're just filming training and
yeah
on TikTok and
filming my training sessions on Instagram. I haven't been on TikTok yet, but I'll be working on that.
You should get on that.
Yeah, that's where it's at. But besides that, jiu-jitsu content daily. I did acting. I have some experience.
Oh yeah, I saw that on your thing.
Yeah.
Let's get into that. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So my first film I did is called Lake Abyss. That'll be dropping actually shortly soon. I think.
On what? On
that's where that should be released at.
Is it like Amazon Prime or?
It's gonna be like at a short film festival and
stuff.
Oh no way!
Yeah.
That's exciting.
What was your role? This was your first role?
Yeah, this is my first role. I was actually the main role of two characters.
Shut up. Yeah. Wait. You were two different characters?
No, like my friend.
Oh, you had scenes with the main.
I was the main character. We had two main characters. So it was me and one other guy.
Yeah.
And so there was also two girls though. So it was like,
were you like a high school kid or what were you like?
We were like college kids.
College kids?
It was a horror film.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
That must have been fun to make.
Oh, it was real fun.
Running from like a murderer or something?
I don't want to spoil
too much. That is sick though. So how did that opportunity come about? You've been jiu-jitsuing and fighting everybody. What, someone walked in and was like, this kid can act? What happened?
Yeah, so I've been trying to look for like some acting courses, and you know, one day we just had this door opener, and guy just asked us, hey, like, we got this film, you know, we want to see if you're interested, and because we've been looking out for, you know, to do filming. And so once the opportunity came, we were just like, yeah, let's do it, you know. And he knew that I had no experience, but it was worth the shot. He knew that I wanted to do acting, so we just got into it. And then he was actually really impressed by my acting. I was really good for my first time, he said. So
natural.
Yeah, I was happy for that. So and my brother's he was an actor as well. Like he's good at improv, and he used to do a little bit of in high school theater. So yeah, so he would help me with that. And so yeah, I did amazing for my first time. And I also did a second film. That's when I did my second one. That one's called Pitched Out.
Damn, you already did a second one?
Yeah.
Holy shit. So before the first one's out, he's on busy. To the next one. So,
I keep it going. And that one was even more fun because I was able to use my jiu-jitsu background in that film.
No way.
So yeah, I did a little bit of sparring.
That's what I was gonna ask. When I first heard that you did movies, I assumed in my head, oh, he's doing like stunt related work too.
Yeah, the second one,
the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But like now come to find out that you're just like on screen.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's what it's all about. Like, man, I'm trying to be up there to be like John Wick, you know? Like you see this movie, the way he does his combat.
Wait, so the second one you did, it was like fight, it was you were
competing. I had a fight scene there in that movie. Yeah. Right.
Was it like a street fight scene or you were like competing in a
it was like at a regular environment, like in the theater or something like that.
No, I mean like the scene in the thing, like where were you in the scene? Were you like outside? Or? Like what was the fight?
No, the fight scene was in a theater.
In a movie theater.
Yeah,
okay. Like you're in the movie, you're in a movie theater.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what the fuck's going on? Yo, that's lit. So it was like a street fight.
It's good.
That's
be
lit too, because you could do like all your own stunts. Yeah. I don't need to like get someone that looks like you to like.
No, it was all me. I was doing all the work.
You like backflips and shit? You look like you do a backflip.
I mean, in gymnastics, I used to do a little bit of that, but that was like years ago. But I got to work on that again. I lost that.
Nah,
it was sick.
Damn, bro. Acting sick. So you went to acting classes before you got the role or no?
I did a little bit of acting classes, yeah.
What is that? Like, paint me the picture of your first. I'm picturing this this jiu-jitsu world champion walking into his first acting class all nervous. Give me the story.
I was a little bit nervous. It was like first time.
Of course, bro.
It was weird.
Like, I'd rather just fight someone right now.
It's funny. That's all I think about when I'm there. But it was really a fun experience. I mean, once they told me to do like certain acts, like okay, like act like a really like annoying jock, you know, like high school jock. I was like, okay, let me just do the cliche jock expression. Like, hey, give me lunch money. And just push them against the wall. But first day, like they just had me like do different expressions and like facial movements or like kind of just I put on the body language of like someone like who looks like a douchebag, you know?
Yeah. And that's hilarious because you're one of your biggest like pushes is anti-bullying.
Yeah, exactly.
And the first day, they're like, all right, be the bully, the jock in the movie.
Yeah, basically. And it was easy for me to do because it was like, I already have like this, because it's funny that you say that because people always thought when I was younger, I used to have a purple mohawk, right? And people always thought
you had a little bad kid. You looked like it.
Yeah. And so people always thought that I was this bully kid at school. And it was like, man, you look like a bully. I didn't know you were so nice. Mm-hmm. And all the teachers loved me and everything, and everybody just loved me. But it was like my parents, they always said I looked like a bully.
Yeah.
So it's just how convenient how I got the bully role the first time.
Well, you'd rather look like a bully than everyone think you're actually a bully. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and you ever hear Mike Tyson's story about how he started fighting?
No, explain it to me real quick.
So he was a little kid. You know the story or not?
No. Oh, maybe okay. I do. I don't
it's
know.
Cool, cool Tell story. Uh-huh. Kind of similar. Uh-huh. So he grew up. He's from New York. I want to say he's from Brooklyn. I don't know if you guys could check. Is he from Queens, Tyson? So he Brooklyn? From Brooklyn. So he grew up. He was a young kid. I don't remember the exact age. Maybe he's like 10, 11, something like that. Mm-hmm. He tells you, this is how he tells the story. He was like a little slow as a kid, and he was chubby kind of, and he got picked on a lot. Mm. He was chubby and like wasn't the smartest kid on the block, and he got picked on a lot. And so no, people weren't really nice to him. And he, down the block, there was these like homing pigeons, you know, pigeons. Mm-hmm. And he took care of them. Those were his best friends. And every day he went to the homing pigeons would feed them. One day the bullies like knew Mike, they were messing with Michael, Mike Tyson. They were messing with him. Ooh, your pigeons. And the one bully who, say Mike was like 10, the kid was like 14 or something, took one of Mike's pigeons and ripped its head off. And Mike beat the shit out of this kid, like to a pulp. And then Cuss, I want to say, his trainer, they got him in the, like the next day, they're like, yo, this kid's going to end up in jail. We literally beat this kid to a pulp. He was 5 years older than him. Okay. So they took him, put him in the gym.
Yeah.
And so he was bullied, got thrown in the gym, and now he was the most feared, craziest fighter of all time. I don't know if you ever heard that story.
No, but I haven't. That was the first time.
So he loves homie. He always has pigeon. Like, that's his thing. Mike Tyson's with the pigeon.
Interesting.
So that's how he got his. So that's kind of similar. He picked on when he was younger, and then now no one's fucking picking on him or you now.
Do you have cauliflower ear?
I don't. Look.
Not at all?
Oh, yeah, let's see
nothing,
it.
Nothing.
So you wear the headgear. You're smart.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I don't even wear the headgear.
Really? You don't get it?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten it?
No.
You never had to get it drained out?
Do you not really get it in BJJ?
No, you do. There's a lot of people in BJJ.
You've just
with it.
Skated by.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was just.
You know what's crazy about you combat sports freaking kids?
Tell me.
They like that shit. They like that.
Yeah.
They're like, yo. I'm like, yo, because you can get it like right away. You can get it drained.
Yeah, you could.
They like walking around they with keep it. And you know what? You know when you know. Because like you're walking around and see someone with that.
It's the first
that's
thing.
That's my boy. Away. I'm on your
first
us,
thing I
right?
look at is somebody's ears.
Yeah.
Whether or not to fuck with them.
Yeah. Cauliflower ear chewed up.
Nope. No, thank you.
Yeah, you know off the bat. You got a fighter in your hands.
Mm. Wait, so you're mid-camp now. You're mid-camp right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm still in mid-camp right now.
Oh, shit,
I got like another few. Yeah, a few and a half weeks.
So you're getting close to peaking time.
I'm almost there.
Feeling good?
Oh, I'm feeling great. More than ready.
Yeah.
How close is your like training regimen when you're in camp, when you're not?
Like
I know some fighters, when they're in camp, it's like miserable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but for me, I don't like to put it in that aspect that I just think of it like, okay, I'm in this training camp. I'm only going to focus on this. I'm not worried about like how I feel about it. I'm not really worried about anything else but getting the training done and winning this fight. You know, because some people like to, you know, be like, ah, oh, man, training camp sucks. Like, it doesn't matter if it sucks. You got to get the work done. Mm, you signed up for this. You got to do it. You know, commit to it.
And you think of the positive. Like, it's such a good lifestyle to be in camp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not much more of a healthy lifestyle. Like, you're waking up. You're putting good stuff into your body. You're working out every day. You're sweating. You're resting. You're sleeping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
because man, like once you put all that work in, it's like, and it pays off and you win the tournament, you're going to be mad proud of yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to be like, oh, I don't want to do it again. Like you're going to come back happy. And you're going to be like, I'm ready for the next one.
You know? Speaking of like, so after the fight, you're done with training camp.
Yeah.
Do you indulge in anything when you're done? Like, oh, I've been eating this. I've been craving it. Or I want to go here. I want to hang out with this person.
Yeah, yeah. Say we paint the air. I'm going to manifest it real quick. For you, okay.
Yeah.
It's April what? 17th? 13th?
13th.
Dad, what's the date?
17th. Oh, 17th.
April 17th.
I think it's today.
13th. April 13th. Okay. All right. So ready? I'm going to paint this picture. April 13th.
Uh-huh.
We're at the Grove. The bull takes home the W. What's your first stop? Like, all right, now where you're going?
Man.
Not Disneyland. Where's the first spot you're going?
I'm just gonna indulge after this fight. I'm gonna have a great time. I'm gonna party out.
Yeah. Oh, we're partying. So we are partying. We're going out. See, that's what I wanted to know, where we're going. Okay. All right. All right. So we're going out.
Yeah.
See, Mitch was talking
food.
Yeah. Mitch was like, "Are you gonna eat a pizza and a sundae?" Yeah, see, that's what I wanted to know.
Craving In and Out the day after. Yeah. Yeah.
In and Out.
Hey, have to.
Can't go wrong with In and Out.
I have a question. I mean, you're young and your parents are here, but we can say in general, okay? We don't have to say you specifically. A lot of fighters, when they're in camp, it's like a known thing almost to abstain from girls. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Abstain from girls at all. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. Is that something that you participate in? And if you don't want to answer that, do you think that is something that affects truly the outcome of the fight? Or do you think that's like a myth?
I'm not gonna lie. I think for most of the time it will affect your, you know, with the progress, or like when you're in a camp and you're worried about only your one goal that you're working on, and then, you know, you have a girl, or, you know, it just depends on like if you already have the girl in your life, or it's just somebody you're talking to while doing, focusing on your camp or anything that you're doing, then I feel like, yeah, it'll dog.
So you're saying it's more of a mental thing.
We're thinking like chemically.
Like testosterone. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? You're supposed to like keep, so you're like fired up and ready. Like
just holding yourself back.
Like apparently doing that might like make you a little more like relaxed and lethargic, or so, like, do you think that's true? Or do you think that has no effect on
I think it's true, because I feel like I had some experience in the past myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I learned from that mistake.
Yeah. Like if you have a girl sleep over and then you probably don't train the best the next day.
No, you don't. That.
So then that might have a direct correlation then.
Yeah. No, I agree with you guys 100%. And I feel like most people would. Only because it's like you're worried about her and the things you do. And then, you know, you do things together the next day. It's like, damn, like, what am I gonna do now that she left? Or you have one thing on your mind, you're not worried about your goals, you know?
Yeah.
So like, you don't want to, you know, stimulate that. And so I just think, you know, when you focus on something that you need to do and you need to push yourself, don't worry about girls or like things. Yeah, it's gonna, things, you know, that's gonna block you.
Yeah, those will always be there, right? Yeah, like that's the way to think about it. That stuff's always gonna be there, and that stuff's gonna
but you're single right now.
Yeah, I'm single now.
Okay. He's focused. You just
focused. Well, yeah, but you're single before you started this camp, or
I was still single.
Gonna be single after.
Probably after too. Yeah.
Straight up focus.
Yeah, he's 20, bro. People ask me. Don't get locked up. Yeah, I'm 26. People are asking me, like, when? I'm like, I feel young still. I feel offended for you when someone asks you that. You have a girlfriend? You should know.
Yeah. Good looking guy, you could, you know? But no.
Okay. Hey, so maybe he's not going to be single after someone.
He's going to get the W. For you guys that didn't hear at home, Mom just piped in and said, "I think he's saving it for one special girl." So now
you got to expose me.
Now you got it.
I mean, hey, I'm open if Jenna Ortega is out there. You know, I'm still.
Hey, that's what it is. Jenna Ortega.
Name drop.
Yo,
great name drop.
Holy smokes, we do have a young stallion in the building.
I'm just saying.
Yo, I love that, bro.
I got the time.
You ever spend any time in Miami?
Oh yeah.
You said I got the time. Not right now. You're in camp.
Not right now. Not right now.
But maybe for Jenna, I might get a date or something in camp.
Maybe.
She might have a parent. She gets a pastor. No. Mom said no. Oh, she said yeah.
Oh, wait. All right, so on that note, would you ever? Okay, you want to be single. I get it. Do you see yourself ever getting with somebody who's in the same space as you, like maybe another Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter?
Yeah. No. Not a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter girl, but I can see myself like being with another successful, like another celebrity that's also working their way up there as well.
Like an athlete, or just or
it
like
could be like an athlete. It can be like an entertainer, like, or somebody who's doing movies. It could be anything outside of the jiu-jitsu world. The only reason I haven't been with another girl in the same world as me, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because I feel like it's just a little bit harder for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. I just feel like people work easier when they have two different worlds of their own.
Yeah,
you know.
So no combat sports at all?
Nah.
Or, okay.
Yeah.
You think you'll get married one day?
No. It's funny you bring that up. No, because I tell a lot of people that. I'm just like, I'm not, me personally, I just don't feel like marriage is just a thing for me in this generation, especially just because it's a lot harder and people are trying to work on themselves still a lot. And it's, especially for me, like, I have a lot to do in my personal life. So for me, it's like... I want kids, but I don't want kids, you know, if that makes sense. It's like, I would love to see how my kid would be if he was in jiu-jitsu and stuff, but it was like, I have a lot of my personal life that I want to get done, and I still want to run a school business, and it's going to be hard to, you know, have kids at the same time. You still got to find your right partner as well, too, you know, so there's a lot to do there.
And you're 20.
I was just 20. About to say, bro, he's answering this, like, so maturely, and, like, you're almost tricking us at your age right now, but, like... I will say, like, I was 20 not that long ago, like 5 years ago, like less than 6 years ago. Yeah. And I thought a lot differently 5 years ago than I do right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, you're focused and you're in your grind, but try not to be closed mind. Like, if shit changes, you're going to feel different.
Yeah.
You might meet somebody.
Yeah.
You might want to, like, you know what I mean? Because I was kind of on a wave, like, I'm good on kids, probably. That's just like, that's an expense. And like, you know, like, yeah, I'm kind of good on it. And then as I get older and I'm like closer to my dad's age when he had me, like, think about how freaking cool it would be, bro, to have your little son and your dad. Imagine your son sitting there on your dad's lap. Like, how
I
much
think about
a,
it all the time.
Like, bro, that's something I can't miss out on. Yeah. Dude. Like, that, I think that's why we're all here. Yeah. We need to make little rugrats and make little good people in this world. Yeah. And it's not much deeper than that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your family and like, that's your.
Even my parents are telling me, like, man, I want to see, like, we want grandparents. Like, when are we going to see your kids?
Yeah,
we
put the jiu-jitsu. I just think it'd be great because I feel like I remember when, like, you remember when you're like 2, 3, 4 years old and your dad, like, my dad was like 29, 30 when I was like 4. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember him and I'm like, damn, that was like my age. And I think that would be so cool to see my little 2-year-old kid with my dad when he's like 60 or whatever. No, like, I think that's so cool.
It's a great feeling, you know. Maybe in my
but
mind,
I agree with you
change.
With I think marriage is weird. Yeah. I mean, are you guys married, like, legally married on the, like, so I've been like looking at, because it seems like that's the step, like, everyone, it's almost like graduate high school, like the path is like high school, college, marriage, like. And it's like, okay, that's a little like Matrix-y.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? I don't know if
that's what I'm thinking.
Like,
yeah,
the you know
Matrix
what I'm saying?
Hypothesis. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I just don't know why it's like a weird government sanction. Like, if you love somebody, like, and everyone's putting all this pressure on you, sign this paper and fuck it up. And then we were talking about the other day, like, there are successful marriages, obviously.
Of course.
If you look at the stats, over half of the time it ends in divorce. And that's not counting people that are separated that aren't divorced. Mm-hmm. So, like, why? Like, I feel like it'd be easy to love each other, maybe not make it a business contract, government. Like, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
My parents were never married and they didn't get along, but I see a lot of people married and then maybe stay together because they have kids, and it makes the whole situation, like, they're not really into each other and they're like, well, we'll stay together because of the kids.
Yeah.
I think you can raise kids not together and have a good relationship and make a good human. Yeah. Like, I don't think marriage is the key to raising a good kid. Yeah. I don't think so.
And I don't think
you think, does that make, like, in a perfect world, you find your partner, you marry her and you love each other the whole time and you raise these kids together. World. Like, I mean, sure, you guys know, you get curveballs at you all the time. You don't know. Someone might change. Someone might. But the most important isn't your relationship. I think the most important is the kids you made. Like,
that is the most important. Yeah. Out of all things. And it's just,
I don't,
like,
know if I'll get married.
When it comes to love, I heard this phrase once. Right. I heard this before. It's called love is blind. Right. And that's just the thing with most relationships now in times, especially in certain generations. It's like, you don't really know what you're getting into until years later come by. And then it's like, why did I even do this in the first place? You know? You won't have to worry about that if you just don't do the marriage. You know, if you really love somebody, you're going to tell that person you love them, but and under no circumstance, you're going to sign papers because you love them. It's not going to change how you feel about them.
Yeah, you know? It isn't.
It's a weird concept.
Yeah. It's almost like you ever get into a stage with a girl, you're like talking, and then you start getting questions like when are you going to ask me to be your girlfriend? When are you going to ask me to be? And I have the conversation, like, when it gets to that point, it's literally like we're talking, we talk every day, I talk to you every day, like, you see what I'm doing, like, if tomorrow we said, okay, we're boyfriend, girlfriend, like, what does that change? I'm still going to talk to you every day. We're still going to hang out. And I'm still going to, like, you know what I mean? You just want to put it on, like, Instagram, like, relax. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I'm not big on the, like, media either when it comes to, like, relationships. You see a lot of the relationships.
Keep it out there.
It's like, if you love somebody, it's always nice to post your partner or your girlfriend, and, you know, it's always a cool thing. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, oh, don't just post somebody because you think it's a flex on social media to post your relationships.
Oh, I have a girlfriend.
I mean,
she's bad.
She's bad.
She's super bad.
Flex is okay.
The bull.
But I mean, like, with all respect, you know, like,
what is that? You've been modeling?
Oh, yeah, I have been modeling.
So I do a little bit of that. What is it, like, clothing, jewelry, or what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, I'm modeling just for like fashion shows and stuff like that. You know, and they gave me some jewelry to wear for them, for those brands and their clothes and stuff.
Are you exclusive with the jewelry brand or no?
No, not currently, but I am exclusive to it. I already have my own jiu-jitsu brand. Okay. I'm worked with, like, a Moria brand is one of my sponsors for jiu-jitsu, but outside of that, I don't
what
have
is it? What's the sponsor?
Moria brand.
Mario brand?
No, Moria.
Moria.
Yeah, Moria. Shout out to Moria brand. Yeah, they sponsored me for jiu-jitsu.
And then what's your own brand?
I don't have my own brand like official yet, but when I make one, it'll be called The Bull Brand, of course.
The Bull Brand. Yeah. All right. You're trademark that.
Yeah, look up for that.
But why I asked about the jewelry is because I could definitely hook you up. You ever heard of Shop GLD?
GLD? I've not.
Jewelry thing. I'm sure they'd probably get you on a little deal if you want to make some like workout content for them. It's a big jewelry company.
Okay.
They're based in Miami. My roommate runs the shit. And they love like if you could do little content shit like they give like football players to do in the weight room or on the field and shit, but I don't think they have a lot of fighters. So if you like wear the chain maybe while you're like doing a quick work, you don't have to wear it the whole time. Just like for the video and then take it off and give them and they'll like probably give you free jewelry monthly and like pay a little something monthly, like shit like that. No. You should get on those.
Yeah, I could do that.
Because you have like a niche. Not a lot of people can do jujitsu, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Not a lot of people can just make content and do jujitsu. So,
yeah,
like,
it's crazy because before
like Max, especially because you're like actor, model and shit too. You're not just like brickhead jujitsu, like, you know what I mean? You have a look and you can like do your thing.
It's kind of crazy because like a lot of jujitsu people are not really like doing anything else besides jujitsu. Like, you don't see a lot of jujitsu fighters that are doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, acting, modeling, where they're doing like, you know, anything that's not really combative.
Business, you should do your thing because jiu-jitsu is not forever. You know what I mean? Like, you,
that's what I say all the
your
time.
Your businesses and whatever else you're building can be forever.
Yeah, because what I'm trying to do, my goal is like to build me, like to build who I am, not just to build my name in jiu-jitsu. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the goal is, to have a name in jiu-jitsu, but I also want to have a name in acting, have a name in modeling. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to build me. You know what I mean?
You have any tattoos?
I don't, but just gave me a great idea just now. I'm going to get the bull tattoo right here. Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't already have that, though. Yeah.
I should already have
give
that.
Me credit. Yeah. So when you get the tat, I want the tag on Instagram.
Give you credit. Right? Yeah.
You want it on your back, you said?
Oh, yeah.
I just asked because I feel like fighters are always tatted up.
Yeah, that's
true. I'm scared of that.
What's that,
I'm sure once you get the first one, bro, you'll probably get addicted. And then next time I see you. The bull.
That's how it is. You're going to see like a big bull head with horns right here. It's going to be fire.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Because when I took my shirt off, you know, everybody's going to look at you and be like, damn.
Oh, yeah. What do you, when you said gi, no gi, that's that's the outfit you're wearing, right? Or
the gi is like, they call it a kimono or a gi. Mm-hmm. And that's like just
the white one.
Yeah.
It looks like the karate looking one.
Yeah. Kind of
and
karate
then
looking one.
No gi is like a singlet.
No, it's like you wear a rash guard, right? And like some spats or just shorts.
Yeah. Like a what guard?
Like rash guard. No, the rash
like
guard.
A, like compression.
Compression shirt.
Yeah. Oh, like we call them rash guards. Like an Under Armour.
These call them rash guards.
I should know that.
Yeah, then just some shorts and you just start sparring raw. Just like that. Yeah.
The shorts going in for the tournament too? Or you have to wear the white thing in the tournament?
It just depends on the person. Some tournaments only allow just the shorts or you can wear the spats.
You ever like spar with anyone cool, either another professional like fighter or like an actor or something? We had someone on our show, Jason Cohen. Mm-hmm. He was a wrestler. He's from New York, but he doesn't like compete like you anymore. Mm-hmm. But like how I kind of box, like you like go train, it's fun to train, you know, it's a good workout, you like to I think most men should know a little bit of combat sports, right? Like even if they're not competing in it, they should train a little. He was saying getting into jujitsu because he's a wrestler and they're kind of similar. He got to spar, Mario Lopez?
Yeah.
Does he do jiu-jitsu? Yeah, he was like, dude, I started going to this gym randomly and Mario Lopez is in there. Now I just roll with him like once. Do you have any situations like that? Any fighters or?
Yeah, yeah.
I just watched him in Miami.
He trains in my academy.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Cheetah all the time.
Cheetah. You know what's crazy?
Great guy.
I'm a Sugar Sean fan. I'm not going to lie. Okay. Are you a Sugar Sean fan or not? You're Cheetah. You were all in on Cheetah.
I'm with Cheetah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I saw the odds when because I went and first time I ever went to a UFC fight in Miami. And I'm on the Sugar Sean gen. I like Sugar Sean, but I know Cheetah and I like Cheetah too.
Yeah, respect.
And the odds were so much in Sugar Sean's favor. I looked at I was like betting. I'm like, Cheeto's plus 300. Take that shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Cheeto. That's it. Quick enough, Cheeto. Yeah. It was a good fight though. Guy is a chin, bro. Yeah. I would have messed with him.
No, Cheeto's a beast, man. He comes to the academy and I see him train for like his fights upcoming. It's it was a beast in the gym.
And what weight class is he? 140?
Damn. You guys think? I think
45. Yeah, is he like your size?
I think so. Yeah.
So you roll with him a little bit, or
In the past, I have a few times, but recently, like I haven't seen him in the gym. But yeah, when he goes
there, right? Like, obviously, he's not going like 100 on you, but like, can you tell? Well, like you're also specialty. when you're sparring with him, strictly jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. You're not like...
Oh, no, there's not like striking or that.
So that's... What is he... What is his... Like, how did he start? Was he like a striker? Was he a kickboxer? Do you know?
No, I don't think I know.
Because I just asked because you are an expert in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And he does the MMA, which involves jiu-jitsu. So I'm just worried. Like, I'm wondering when you're rolling with him.
Yeah.
Is it like... He's like, you can tell he's like torn with me a little bit, or you're like kind of show, you can show him a little like it.
No, I mean, yeah, last time we ever got like a roll in, it was like, it was mixed all around. Like, I could feel like a little bit of wrestling. He had wrestling in him. He has like good jiu-jitsu. And he'll just mix the game up a lot. Yeah. Like, he's good overall. But with me, like, it was like a back and forth match, but like, obviously, like, he's really strong, you know, yeah. So he's gonna muscle me down with power. But like, yeah, I mean, like, he's a beast man on the mats, so.
That's a cool experience. That's someone that's really cool. You get to see him in the gym often.
Is there anybody specific that you want next? Like anybody that you've been eyeing?
Eyeing out to fight for on the mats. Damn, that's a good question.
Call him out.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. In the world with you, probably, nobody. Nah.
I don't think I got nobody in my mind right now. But like, it needs to be like whoever I fight next has to be like a really major, like really somebody that's really sought out on the mats that wants to go against me.
Is that common in Brazilian jiu-jitsu to like want a specific person like it is in MMA or other MMA and boxing and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's
or is it more
common.
Just whoever you get?
No, it's very common for people to want to see like certain people fight each other. Mm-hmm. Like when I fought like one of my old buddies, Cade Ratula, a lot of people have been demanding that fight or they've wanted to see that fight because we have such a similar game. So it's very common in the sport.
What's the white guy's name that got in trouble for like juicing a bunch of? He's like the really good jiu-jitsu guy.
Oh,
was that he keeps getting in trouble for? You know what I'm talking about? He gets in trouble for steroids.
I'm not sure who it is. But
a dude. He's like, I'll find him after.
You sure
but
it's BJJ?
Yeah, no. It's I'm pretty sure it's BJJ. I have to look it up. White dude, and he might have did UFC a little, but he's like one of the best. Jiu-jitsu guys, but he keeps getting caught juicing, and that I wanted to ask you before your fight, they drug test you?
No, I never got drug tested. No, but I've always been called out to people who thought I was on roids. And
really?
Yeah, I've been called out like a couple times.
Fucking. I need to watch one of your. I need to watch some of your shits, bro.
It's crazy, bro. And like I would just post like these crazy fights, and I always win them because okay, let me tell you something. I went in this no-gi match, and I fought this. I think it was a Bellator fighter, right? Yeah, he was a Bellator fighter, professional, and he was like this big buff dude. Like, he was brawlic, and he won like a world championships, didn't he? He won matches before. Yeah, no. Like,
how much did he weigh?
That was 145. No, he was 145 solid though. Like, he was like straight rock, abs ever ripped, and yeah, you could tell he was a big dude.
He was eating,
and it was an Ogi match, so you was able to see his whole physique and everything.
What was the mat? No-gi match.
No-gi match. Yeah,
so that means you don't have the.
Yeah.
So you saw, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, he's like five times bigger than me. And when I won that battle, right, I ended up winning in the end. And everybody just thought, like, there's no way. Like, this, like, skinny, like, natural. Physique guy beating this big, brawling dude, like, in no-gi. Like, it was just a straight, like, power battle.
Yeah.
You know? But because I had great technique, I was able to win that fight.
Yeah, that's
you know?
What it is.
That's what I was, like, faster. You know, I was able to get under and over. And so, like, everybody was just, like, confused. Like, how the hell did I win that fight? Like, there's no way. And so I'll just be called out sometimes, like when I fight people
juicing.
Like that. Like,
that's a compliment,
no way.
Though. That's a compliment. Yeah. That's what you want.
And there's like, there's no way to verify. Like, they never do drug tests before.
I'm
any
sure
of these.
The huge.
Yeah,
one.
You have to be black belt. You get drug tested.
Okay. Okay.
So when I reach black belt, then that'll be my proof there.
Yeah. You're like, nah, I'm not juicing now.
Yeah, but no, I've never did it.
You have a favorite move or submission or something?
Yeah, I got.
You have like something like, oh, you get someone in the spot, you're like, all right, this is my bread and butter.
Yeah, all the time. I always prefer either get in the back or like a kimono.
You on the back, getting them on their back. You on your back.
I get on their back.
Oh, you're on their back.
On their back,
okay.
Yeah. And there's a choke, a bow and arrow choke. You ever heard of that?
No. What is it?
So basically,
hey, wait, do it on me.
It's gonna be. You want to do it?
Yeah. Use his shirt.
So it's like you go here, and then
hold on, hold it. Make sure you can see it on the camera. Like this. I
choke
you
out. Can you feel that? I got you.
Wait,
you
can use the
gear.
Yeah,
like,
I got this. Can you feel that?
Yeah,
you got me. Wait, I learned that
actually
recently.
Yeah. Wait, I feel like now that you, dude, that's crazy. You just did that to me.
Yeah.
Because I was watching that. I watched someone choke someone out with their shirt like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's cheating. They're like, nah, that's technique, brother.
Nah, I'm
like,
that's what? Technique. Yeah.
That's some veteran shit.
Yeah.
That's some veteran shit.
You feel like you got stretched out like about an hour, right?
Bro, you stressed me up, man.
Woo. Yeah, so that's one of my favorite moves. Like,
I just got the bull.
Yeah.
That was lit.
Yeah.
Hey. Yo, how long have we been going, Mitch? We had
an hour.
Hell yeah. All right. Right on point. That's a great way to end it, too.
Yes, sir.
Choke me out.
Plug the socials and everything. Where can everybody find you?
At Instagram.
Everybody can find me on my Instagram at Jake with the Bull Brown, Twitter, YouTube, all of that. And shout out to everybody who's watching me, my supporters. Shout out to Silver Media. I love you guys. Carlos and the man, Micah. You already know.
And then who what's the brand that?
Oh, yeah. And shout out to Moya Brand, my Jiu-Jitsu Brazilian Geek Company. And my family. And shout out to you guys.
Jacob the Bull Brown. Yes, thank you for coming on Joey Joy Radio, man.
You're listening to Joey Joy Radio.